message today is entitled The High Calling. The High Calling. He was a beautiful child. Mom and Dad were very proud of him. He was also very smart. By the age of 3, he could pick up anything and read it. Could you turn it down, Sam? Check 1, 2. That's better. By age of 3, he could pick up anything and just read it out loud. He was also very quick with mathematics and science. They sent him to special schools. He grew up pampered and proud. Everyone gave way to him. He thought he was special, and everybody else thought he was special. He was born in 1788. His name was Judson. Adoniram Judson. His father was a pastor. But in his college years, a friend of his began to scorn the gospel and began to introduce him to the concept of deism, the belief that God created everything and then he left, that he is not involved in our lives today and that he doesn't speak to us today, that we can't hear God. Deism did not look to Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. Basically, this life is what you get, and then it's all over. And he bought into this. It suited his intellectual interests. It allowed him to participate in all the things of darkness that his heart was hungry for, that his father would never allow in the home. Just graduated, and he was on a trip. And he was staying the night in an inn. And as he was trying to go to sleep, he could hear the groans of a man in the next room who was dying. He was very irritated at this upset in his sleep. Finally, the sound stopped. The next morning, he said to the innkeeper, "What happened to that man keeping me up all night? Who was he?" The innkeeper gave him the name. It was the name of his college buddy. He died that night. And suddenly, this man had a great conviction in his heart. If he were to die, like his college buddy had, he would go to hell too. With that conviction in his heart, he began to participate in what is historically known as the Haystack Revival. Remember Guy Bevington and the Haystack and the stories I've shared? Every time people would go out to the haystack, they'd be converted. Anytime they got serious before God, their life was changed. His life was totally changed. He gave himself completely to Jesus Christ, and he headed off to seminary. As he was in seminary, his heart became increasingly convicted that he needed to go into the mission field. The Lord was summoning him to go into southern India, to the Burmese people. He'd heard about them. A speaker had come to the seminary and talked about the desperate need for the gospel among the Buddhists, among the Burmese people. There were no Christians there. They had never heard the name of Jesus Christ. Now, this is in southern India. where it is extremely dangerous because of the heat, because of the disease. It would be a threat against his life. And as he's considering this, and finally makes the commitment that he will go to the mission field, he sees this beautiful woman. He goes and talks with her. And they fall in love. Now the question is, will she go with him? She was the daughter of a man by the name of Heseltine. Her name was Anne. Mr. Heseltine was an extremely wealthy man. He had pampered his daughter and given her every possible advantage. She had gone to the finishing schools. She was the celebrity of town. And she fell in love with Mr. Judson. She also went to the Haystack Revival. And there a total change came over her. No longer was she interested in the dress of the day and the style. She was consumed with knowing Jesus Christ. She went to her room, and someone had placed in the room a book. And the book was written by a woman who was saying in the book, if you find nothing worthwhile to do in the service of others, you will be unfit for heaven. And that fixed on her mind, and she began to say, what can I do to help others? And then Adoniram proposed. I want to share with you the letter he wrote to Anne's father, asking for her hand in marriage. Dear Mr. Heseltine, I have now to ask whether you can consent to part with your daughter early next spring, to see her no more in this world. Whether you can consent to her departure to a heathen land and her subjection to the hardships and sufferings of a missionary life. Whether you can consent to her exposure to the dangers of the ocean, to the fateful influence of the southern climate of India, to every kind of want and distress, to degradation, insult, persecution, and perhaps a violent death. Can you consent to all this for the sake of him who left his heavenly home and died for her and for you? For the sake of the perishing immortal souls, for the sake of Zion and the glory of God, can you consent to all this in hope of soon meeting your daughter in the world of glory with a crown of righteousness brightened by acclamations of praise which shall redound to her Savior from heathen saved through her means from eternal world and despair? He wrote back, it is to be her choice. he wrote to in as frank with her as he was with her father. Writing to her, we shall probably experience seasons when we shall be exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. She said yes. They were the first foreign missionaries to leave America's soil. They went to India and they made their way to the Burmese people. Their first task was to learn the Burmese language. He was skilled in Hebrew and Greek and a number of other languages. But the Burmese language was unlike the Romance languages of French and Spanish and German and English. Then, as he gained skill in the language, he began the process of translating the Bible from the Greek and the Hebrew into Burmese. They were in the process of moving from Rangoon to their mission assignment when Anne went into labor with her first child. The child died in birth, and Anne almost died. They arrived in their place of service in the heat and the insects and the snakes and the fevers, totally shunned by the people who wanted nothing to do with these foreigners. There was at that time a great deal of animosity toward the British, and these were white Americans. And so they were considered by the people to be British. Their second child, Roger, a beautiful son, after 8 months, grew sick and died. Then a war broke out between England and Burma and India, and the government immediately took Mr. Judson as a prisoner and accused him of being a spy. He was tortured, he was beaten, they put his legs in shackles with a rope tied to it, and every night they would draw him up so that only his head and his shoulders would lie on the ground. Barefoot, mosquitoes swarming over his bare feet every night, so that he could barely walk the next day, hobbling in his prison cell. And desperately trying to do everything she could with government officials to have him released from prison, trying to continue the ministry as she worked on translating the book of Matthew into Burmese. Still totally given to the work that God had called her to. She was also pregnant. The third child was born while he was in prison, right after he was released, and died of a fever. little Maria got the same fever, and 6 months later she died. After 15 years of mission service, he had 7 converts. He was left alone and broken and went into a deep depression. He took a shovel and he walked out into the jungle and he dug a grave for himself. And he spent weeks sitting at that grave looking at it. All the romance was gone out of his walk with God. Everything was taken from him. He also was struggling with fever, with sickness. And he sat beside that grave. And he looked at that grave until the peace of Jesus came into his heart once more. Until he knew that he was not going home, that he was going to stay right there in Burma, and he was going to pay whatever price was necessary to win those people to Jesus Christ. People began to come looking for him. And they said to him, "Are you the Jesus Christ man?" Are you the Jesus Christ man? Do you have writings that will tell us how we can be saved from death? Twice more. The second wife served with him. They had more children, and more children died. Finally, they left 3 of them in America for education. 3 out of the 8, and the others all died. As people began to search for him, asking, "Are you the Jesus Christ man?" Conversions began to take place. He finally was so sick that it was decided by his wife, the third wife, that he should take a sea voyage in the hopes that it would clear his lungs. Died on board that ship. At the age of 61. He had spent 37 years of service to the Burmese people. When he died, he had established 63 churches with just over 7,000 converts to Jesus Christ. Today, there are almost 2 million Christians in Myanmar, which is where he was. One day, Anne is going to hear the celebration. Looking for me, saying, "Are you the Jesus Christ man? Are you the Jesus Christ man?" The gospel of Jesus Christ has gone forth from the time of the crucifixion and resurrection, when bold men and women have taken by force the gospel of Jesus Christ and said, "I will lay my life down for this gospel." If you evaluate your life right now, what have you laid your life down for to this point? Has it been for the man, Jesus Christ? Joseph, when his brother Reuben sinned sexually against a concubine of Jacob's, he lost his position as the head of the family under the birthright. And it was given to this 17-year-old boy. He was given a coat of many colors to give him standing in the family business. The brothers bitterly hated this young kid being put in charge of them. And then he had this dream. And in the dream, these stalks of wheat were all bowing down to his stalks. And then he had a dream where the sun and the moon and the stars all came and bowed down to him. And they hated him for this. And Joseph began to experience the cost of following the Lord God of heaven. Brothers threw him in the cistern from which he could not climb out, and they planned to leave him there to die. And he had to sit and look at his grave. Can I say to you, you cannot be a Christian and not sit for a time and look at your own grave. Has to be a coming to an end of ourselves where we finally come and sit and look at our own grave and say, "I have died." And then there has to be the breathing in of the Spirit of God to give us the courage to pay the price to follow after Jesus Christ. Joseph is pulled out of that pit and he's cast into a living hell. Slavery. Sold for $250 by his brother's blood. And he's sent off. The Ishmaelites are taking items for sale in Egypt, and now Joseph is one of the items to be taken to Egypt for sale. Insult and injury. He's taken to Egypt. He's a slave. And in the midst of his slavery, God comes and begins to give him a small amount of success. And he's promoted in the house of Potiphar. But then, as always happens, as we begin to walk in the depth of Jesus Christ, as we begin to walk and pay the price for the kingdom of heaven, a beautiful woman will come and try to seduce and destroy what God has been trying to accomplish. Or money comes and tries to buy us. Sitting and looking at that grave is where we finally make the decision. We cannot be bought. We cannot be seduced. We will not lie. We will serve Jesus Christ. We will not compromise. Beautiful wife of Potiphar, as she says, come to bed with me, he says no. How could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? When we've looked at the grave long enough and we're dead, we finally have to say, how could I sin against God? Because this is not between Potiphar's wife and Joseph. This is between Joseph and God. And he's not good. Not going to compromise. He's not going to cheat. He's not going to sell out. You know what? Sell out either. And I don't want you to sell out. She accuses him of trying to rape her. He's taken to prison and put in the stocks. He's abused. Can you imagine what the head jailer said to Joseph? The scorn, the degradation, the torture, the whippings. But he would not violate his relationship with his God. Prison warden recognized his excellence in his service to his God and put him in charge of the prison. But he is now still a slave and a prisoner. What can a slave and a prisoner do for the kingdom of God? God was turning Egypt into a womb. and he was using Joseph in ways Joseph had no clue. All Joseph knew is, I will not violate my relationship with the living God of heaven. I want to say to you, God wants to use you. You have no clue now how God wants to use you, and most of you have no clue what price you're going to pay in order to do the will of God. And you said to me, Ray, you're going to lose your wife. You're going to have a very small little fellowship. I said, are you kidding me? Is that what it's going to cost me? I can tell you there's been much heartache for me in following Jesus. And much sadness. But when I look at this dear brother Johnson, I've suffered nothing. When I look at what Jesus Christ suffered, I've suffered nothing. Before Jan died, she said to me, Ray, if Jesus doesn't heal me and I die, will you please say at my funeral, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I said, yes. And I did. Jesus has won my heart. I can't go do anything else. All I can do is honor the name of Jesus and serve him with my whole heart. And to love this small congregation in every way I know how to love you and confront you and call you. Come together with me and serve Jesus. Lay your life down for Jesus. Some of you, he may call to the mission field. America, to me, is the greatest mission field now in the world. It's utterly dark. It's utterly wicked. It's given over to every unclean, vile thing. So don't give way to your hormones. Don't give way to the evil of the devil. Don't give way to the lust for things. Recognize Jesus wants to use you to do something for his kingdom. You don't know what that is, perhaps, but he wants to use you. Is it all right? Will you lay your life down for Jesus Christ? Will you say, yes, Jesus? And allow him to heal the wounds of your heart. Allow him to heal the wounds of your body. No. And say to you, follow me. The high calling of Jesus Christ sometimes looks like slavery. Sometimes it looks like persecution. And sometimes it looks like being second in charge of Egypt. Okay? And we don't get to choose what that's going to be. But the mighty God of heaven sees us and knows us. And if we get caught in all of our little comforts, and we're always concerned about what is happening in my life, I'll be of no use to Jesus. There are those who have gone before us who paid the ultimate price. I call you today sacrifice your life for Jesus Christ. Mighty God of heaven, would you come and move in our hearts? Would you set right the wrongs? Would you protect us and guard us and lead us in the path that you know we need to walk, that you could use us for the building of your kingdom? Lord, there's absolutely no price too high to pay for 7,000 beautiful people who worship you, this man and this precious woman, Anne. They will rejoice in the kingdom above for their sacrifice. Lord, put a great determination in our hearts that we will be used by you. And give us the courage to go sit beside our grave and say, I would rather die than turn away from Jesus Christ. Lord, may we be utterly dead to this world, to the vileness and to the wickedness of this world. Lord, make us utterly dead to the works of Satan, that we could live for you, regardless of the price.